This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of geekdad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 92. Bob, are you a serial masticator? Hello again, everyone. You found it. We are back. This is the Geek Dads, episode number 92. I am Ken Den Mead. D as in David, E, N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, E-A-D. Ken Den Mead, editor of geekdad.com. And I haven't even had any beer yet, so that's the kind of day it's going to be. We're here. Skype is working. Wiretap is working. Ustream is working. Knock on wood. Of course, I don't have a big crowd of people. We just have Matt Blum. How are you doing this week? Transition to Mr. Blum. There's Mr. Blum. Woohoo! How are you?
Doing okay. Recovering from the trip to San Francisco and
a little trip you took.
Yeah. It was great fun, but a bit exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, obviously...
Jenny says the sound's gone.
Messed and the sound is gone. It is. Look at that. Oh, you know what? I bet I know. Hold on. And not get it set on that one. Audio. And that. And let's try it now. How about that, Jenny? Test, Matt.
Test, 1, 2, 3.
I think that's it. Yeah, good.
Excellent.
And we're back. I'm not even going to edit that out.
Okay. it was great to come out for Maker Faire. Had an absolute blast, as did my whole family.
It was quite. Ooh, Nicole Wakeland's in the chat room. Hey, hi Nicole. Nicole interviewed me a few weeks back.
So. Oh, okay. Hi, cool. Nicole.
Hey. It was a blastastic weekend. It was simply amazing, and obviously, Michael and Natanya are still so reeling so much from the weekend that they had to drop out on us at last minute, so we can wag our fingers at them. But Jenny was able to drag herself into the chat room to be part of the podcast tonight. Thank you, Jenny. Of course, she didn't have as far to go. Although you drove back, didn't you? Did you drive back, Jenny? Jenny. 750 miles. They drove back.
I think it was just her, right?
Because Ed flew back, right?
Right.
Wow. That's a little trip.
That is.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't just her by herself. That's good.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah.
A phenomenal weekend was had by all, and let us, you know, we talked about it a lot before, and things, most of the good stuff worked as well or better than we could have imagined. A few things were dropped, but other things were awesome. So, what would you like to recap first, Matt? What do you think?
I don't know. We could just sort of tell people about what the setup was and, you know, what kind of stuff we did. For one thing, the having Bob Boyle and John Kovalik there just worked amazingly well.
That was tremendously good. I mean, I can't tell you how many people in different ways geeked out about both of them. I mean, the kids and parents coming up to talk to Bob and to have him draw a little Wubsy character for them. And the kids loved that. It was tremendous. And then there were more adults and teenage girls geeking out over John Kovalik, Mr. Munchkin. One of my favorite little sort of like bringing together two geek moments was that Patrick Norton from the fairly well-known tech podcast, TechZilla, on Revision 3 Network, came by to say hello because he provided one of the projects for the new Geek Dad book. And so we chatted, and it was great to finally actually meet him in person and talk to him and stuff. He is an uber geek and a great guy. And then I sort of go, hey, you know, have you ever played Munchkin? And instantly light turned on. It was like, oh yeah, I'm like total Munchkin. And I go, you know, that's John Kovalik over there. And he had a little geek out moment. He saw his just like, huh? And so I was able to introduce two geek celebrities and make their days. And it was really cool.
Very cool. Yes. Oh, they obviously both had just a great time, and which is fantastic. And they brought so much to the booth.
That, they really did.
We couldn't have otherwise had. I mean,
yeah,
nobody else could do what they do. So.
And, you know, and I realize in a way, I don't know what we could have done more, but I think there's probably more that we should have done to try and publicize that the two of them were going to be there. I don't know if we, you know, we didn't really urge them to exhaust all their paths of communication to their fans and such, but it would have been really, really, I mean, it was still awesome. You know, all right, so we had our electronics table, and we had our Lego free play table. We had our geeky music table, all sorts of stuff from Think Geek. And we had our Hexbugs table. We had a place where we were selling the Geek Dad books and all the Geek Dad and Geek Mom t-shirts and stuff. And that was all, I mean, people were swarming all over all of that stuff. And then, like, right in the back in the middle of this, alternating or sometimes at the same time, you had Bob Boyle and John Kovalik. And it was like, but because it wasn't plastered on the booth, people were sort of like walk by and then look down and suddenly realize who was there. And once that happened, they sort of started forming a crowd and a line, and then people go, oh, what was that? And the word would get out, and people would congregate, and it was really neat.
Oh yeah, I think next time if they come, we need to have like a big sign, like not as big as, but you know, in roughly the same place as the big Geek Dad sign,
right?
Announcing their presence there.
Triple back fence wall next time. We need more display space. Obviously,
yes.
We got a little tight between us and Chris Anderson's DIY drums team that was also there, sharing some of the booth space, but. And we successfully launched diet soda and Mentos fountains in the booth, mm-hmm. which I was really, really proud of my feat of engineering there. And I will argue that no, it was exactly tall enough because we just got a little bit of spray out the top just for effect, but it didn't create a huge mess. You got the visual of everything shooting up inside the tube, and you know, a little spray would come out the top, and you go, ooh, ah, and then, you know.
I do think I think you said it on Twitter that the idea of like putting a bell at the top.
I mean, I was thinking like cap it in aluminum foil, mm-hmm. and then have some sort of battery wire hookup that when the moisture hits it and would like collect temporarily somewhere, it would close a circuit, and then lights would go off on top and buzzers.
That shouldn't be too hard to do.
Shouldn't be too hard. I had an idea of like somehow suspending a little plastic cup under the cap that would have one of the leads into it, but it would have a hole poked in the bottom. So the soda stuff would come up and like get into the cup and then slowly trickle out. So you'd connect the circuit and then slowly yeah. it would filter out, and that would work.
Wouldn't be too hard to experiment. Right, because you don't need the whole view, you need the whole assembly just to test that view. But I think that would be, I think if it's capped, then we could do it more often.
Yes,
because we wouldn't have to worry about the spray getting on people.
Right,
like as Jenny is just pointing out, the electronics and the artists
and professional art happening close by.
Especially since John Kovalik was in fact working on a new Munchkin supplement. There.
Yes, that was the thing. He's very casually sitting there at the table, but we noticed that he's doing line drawing on very nice weight paper and taking his time sketching, and outlining and all this stuff. And we realized he's doing like real paying work there.
Well, he actually drew he drew a little sign. Did you see that? It said, "This is John Kovalik. He is working on a new Munchkin supplement." And he drew Carson the muskrat doing
right.
a drawing on something saying "toil, toil, toil, toil."
Right. Well, was that Jenny? Was that you saying it was kid drawing paper from Joanne? Was that what John was on, or that was on? That was what Bob was on. Bob was on some real inexpensive, like newsprint type paper. Oh, okay.
Well, I think for the Munchkin stuff, he took out some better paper.
Yeah,
I think he had two different kinds of paper. Definitely.
Okay.
The regular little sketches he was doing, he had just like regular paper. Like he made this for my son. I can show.
Up a little bit. We can't see. Yeah. Up. Yeah. Hold on. Oh, wait. Hold on. We'll go full screen. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So he made this for my son. And this is not just regular paper. But,
right. So yeah, he had a little bit of both.
Yeah. But for the actual like stuff that he's going to turn into actual Munchkin cards, I think he was using much better paper, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It was just really, you know, we were in the middle of Munchkin game history being made.
Yes, which of course he couldn't actually tell us what he was doing, but it was fairly clear from looking over his shoulder what the theme was going.
We saw some puns, and we can sort it out from there. What else? I was very, you know, and this is for a smaller subset of geeks and people who pay attention to things online. But at one point, I was like standing there doing something in the front area. I turn around and having just sort of a quiet conversation together, sort of inside our space, because we had like one little closed off area, and then out in front of that we had the four tables with things going on. And just sort of in between those, just having a casual conversation where Mark Frauenfelder and Jenny Jardin, both of whom were the founders of Boing Boing, and Mark, of course, is a highfalut for Make, and it was like, and what was really cool was like at one point, actually Mark turned, saw me, and introduced me to Jenny, and first of all, Mark remembers me, which, makes a geek very happy. And then Jenny was very gracious and a lovely person. And it was, another little geek out moment. What else we got? It was a huge, huge event. I mean, we gave away all those Lego kits and a bunch of
Think Geek stuff, especially the shirts were very popular.
This is funny about the Lego. A question came in through the Wired.com Q&A feedback email today. I think it was today, from some parent saying, "My son came home with a Lego Mindstorms, and he says he won it at the Geek Dad booth. Can you confirm this?" It was like, I think the parent was slightly afraid that his child might have stolen the kit somewhere. So yes, we put his mind at ease that while we do not take the kid's names or anything, it is very, very likely that yes, he could have won that at our booth. So the one thing that we gave away something, and I think it was actually given away while either I wasn't around to sort of make a point of it or when I was off distracted doing something else. One of the kits that we gave away was actually a very rare, like 1 in 10,000 sets made, only produced for Japan kits. It's actually a model of a famous like deep submersible scientific submarine that apparently has some following in Japan, and we had gotten I had been able to get a hold of a version of it for the sake of giving it away, and figuring that there would be Lego folk, Lego fans at Maker Faire that would like drool over this. I was going to try and make a big deal out of it, but some kid got it, probably doesn't even know what they have, and that doesn't really matter because they're going to have fun with it anyway.
Exactly, which is the purpose in the first place.
Right. So that was fun. Shall we do a little self horn tooting?
Sure.
All right. For the video, folks, I am holding up first. Oh, let's go full screen. Boom. First, there is our. Oh, I was gonna work up to that. Darn it. There is our 2011 Maker Faire Education Award for the Geek Dad booth, and then 2011 Maker Faire Editor's Choice. Now, I don't know if there were a few of each of these given out. It sounded like there might have been a couple of them, or that some each of the editors got to give one out, or something like that. All the Make magazine and Craft magazine editors got to hand some of them out. But
to be fair, I saw somebody walking around with like a good dozen of the red ribbons. But that's still cool. I
mean, yeah,
considering how many, like, there were several hundred. Yeah, you know, different booths and such there. That, you know.
Yeah, between all the halls, like, and indoors and outdoors and stuff.
Right. Even if there were only, like, you know, even if there were like 20 of them, it's still pretty cool that we got one.
Right. Right. And it had nothing at all to do with the T-shirt and mug that I gave Shauna after.
I'm sure not.
It was actually Shauna gave me the editor's choice, and then I gave her a mug and a T-shirt. Just because she's also cool, and her husband Bruce is a former Geek Dad writer too, so they are friends of the blog too. What else, Jenny? In the chat room, you have any fond Maker Faire memories you would like us to relay for you? And while you think about that, Matt, any
more stuff about
that? Any more stuff? I mean, what you no. did at any point, you guys got out of the booth and actually went wandering around and saw cool stuff?
Oh, there was all kinds of cool stuff. Both of my kids learned how to solder, which was very cool.
Excellent.
Yep, they were both pretty happy with that. My son required a little convincing to actually do it, but I think he's a little wary of things like that. But and, you know, walked around the maker shed, bought a few cool things. What else? Went down to the Coke Zero and Mentos area. Saw a little bit, caught like the tail end of one of their presentations there. What else?
Showing off my gadget that I got at the Maker Shed.
Yeah, it's the modular knife. It's like, it looked really cool.
The modular. It's not. They don't call it a Swiss Army knife. The modular multi-tool. That it comes with three different sized frames and then something like 16 different possible tools that you can put in them. So basically, you can customize your own multi-tool and choose which pieces you want. So
I'm gonna definitely have to buy me one of those. But you know, I was tempted there, but as I mentioned there, you know. TSA would not have taken kindly to
my absolutely
plan, I'm pretty sure. So.
Well, you know what favorite online store of ours carries these?
I do think it does.
Yeah, it does. So that might be an avenue for you.
I think it will be. So I've already been browsing through there.
We also picked up, and I don't have them right here, but you know, I'll give the guy a plug because he's local too. This guy, I love his company name is As Wood As It Gets, and he was doing cool stuff with
terrible pun. I'm sorry, but yes, anyway.
It's like a double entendre. It's a quadrantanda. Basically, great little. What we got, what was showing off very spectacularly was he was just making wine bottle stoppers. But, you know, the stopper part was metal with a little rubber gasket on it. And then the heads of it were these very finely turned and polished pieces of exotic hardwoods. And some of the grains and stuff were just gorgeous. And, you know, the prices were very reasonable. And he would do, you know, he was like, you know, if you call him or email him or whatever, he'll do custom stuff. You pick the wood that you want and do all sorts of neat things. So that was very cool.
To be fair, they do seem to give out Editor's Choice Awards, by the way, to quite a few people, but it's still very cool.
No! It was special! It's just for us! Come on, man! I get the impression either like, you know, obviously there are multiple editors at Make and Craft, yeah, too.
Each editor gets to give out a bunch.
Right.
So like I can't find the list for, they probably haven't put it up yet for this one, but like I found the list for Maker Faire Austin, mm-hmm, from like 2007. And they say like the project's earning 5 editor's choice, 3 editor's choice, 2 editor's choice, you know, because, you know, 5 different editors give it to them. So, and it tells you which editors pick.
Interesting. Wow. Way to puncture that balloon, Blum.
Well, it's still pretty darn cool, I think. I just, you know, we shouldn't take any more credit than we're actually due.
All right. So let's see. Jenny's commentary from the chat room was that she was all about getting to meet Bob and John this weekend and discovering how these famous cartoonists were just regular guys. Those guys were. It was just so cool to hang out with them.
Oh, they were very cool. Yeah, just, you know, seeing, you know, like John showing off pictures of his daughter, and obviously the very proud daddy. And
yeah,
just, you know, just. I can totally identify that with. It's so cool. It's so cool.
And my proudest carry away from all of that was in, and I have the picture that Jenny took and sent to me, was my version of Igor Bars getting a huge thumbs up from John. He told me they were his favorite Igor Bars ever.
Yes, I heard him say that.
So
I can attest to that.
I feel special. All right, any more Maker Faire stuff?
Not off the top of my head.
We'll be running some cool videos for the next day. We ran a couple of today, and we'll have at least 2 or 3 more to run tomorrow, and maybe one more before the end of the week that the Wired folks took at Maker Faire. A couple of things from our booth area and some cool stuff from all around. Also, excellent video that Anton took of his daughter getting to get into the Faraday cage with Arc Attack, which is really neat.
Speaking of which, there's a video that's been making the rounds.
Adam?
It's easy to find. Adam Savage, yeah, in the booth after his talk with the Doctor Who theme.
Yeah.
And him just dancing around. Obviously just having a blast.
I think that was a new Faraday cage, too. It looked bigger than the one they had last year.
I think it was. Yeah, the one that you were in last year, I don't think was really big enough that you could put 2 people in it.
Right. Rounds. Especially not with me in it. So.
Well. Yeah. But you know, any 2 reasonably sized people would not have fit in that one, and this one was definitely much bigger.
Right. So it was neato. Oh, also, did finally get to catch up with the young gentlemen, Michael and Evan, doing the Trebuchet project on the Trebuchet project on Kickstarter that we helped support, and that was so successful it doubled its goal money, and they are it sounds like they are working feverishly to get all their manufacturing set up and start pumping out the kits. They were there showing them off, and looked like everybody was having a blast with them.
Oh, absolutely. Oh yeah, one other thing I did want to mention, it's not quite as big a name, but have you read the Baby Mouse graphic novels?
I think I've heard of it. I've not read them.
They're very popular, especially they're aimed at girls, but my son likes them too. My daughter just absolutely devours them. And Jenny Holm, who's one of the 2 writers of them, just showed up at the booth and with her husband and children. And it was funny. I was actually at another booth with my kids, but my wife was at the Geek Dad booth, and she texted me to come back. Like,
get over here.
Yeah. And so I talked with her, and she writes them with her brother, whose name is also Matt, actually. And he's going to be at Comic-Con in July, which I'm going to. So
excellent.
She arranged an introduction and an email. And such. She was just very cool. She was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Jenny in the chat room says apparently that Jenny Holm is friends with Bob and Jonathan.
Yeah, well, actually, that's how...
Has Jonathan, reviewed her thing, or reviewed the books, or...
Yes, Jonathan, he wrote something about Squish, which and the new Baby Mouse book. There's a spinoff called Squish, which they just started, which is about a super amoeba.
Excellent.
Yes, and also the new Baby Mouse book. He just reviewed those, so she had been in contact with Jonathan. But yeah, but my wife Jen was there, and she realized who it was because, like, she was hugging Bob.
Ah.
And then, like, Bob was had taken out like a copy of Squish for her to sign, or something, and she realized, you know, and he said, "That's Jenny Holm, you know."
That's okay. Her.
She's one of the ones who wrote it.
Go meet her. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So,
and she was just very cool. She was just very, very nice person. I look forward to corresponding with her in the future.
Basically, a fine geeky time was had by all.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was well worth the trip. And my family just had an absolute blast. My kids can't wait to go back next year.
Fantastic. Next year, we just need to be able to have, like, either more people out sooner, or I need assistance. It gets a little trying after. it was yesterday morning, finally unloading the van, mm-hmm. and then driving the 25 miles to the place to drop off the helium tank, and then driving the 50 miles from there back, or no 25 miles back to drop off the van, and then the 2.5 mile walk home from there because my wife was at work. So that's the dedication of your editor.
It was very cool. Well, if I could have helped out,
I know. We need more Geek Dad writers in the Bay Area. I need servants.
We had a couple others, didn't we? But
we did, but they've all sort of faded.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Well, before we move on to a new topic, let us take pause and thank our lovely sponsor, MapHook.com, because otherwise I will probably forget, and we don't want to do that because they are a lovely sponsor. In case you haven't heard it before, MapHook is a location-based social network, a system for sort of taking pictures and geotagging them and telling stories or making reviews and broadcasting them to your friends or to select groups of people or just keeping them private and adding some really cool geeky tags to them. These guys are very much geeks themselves, and they are trying to sort of develop their own niche more in the geek community than fighting the uphill battle against some of the behemoths that are out there. And so they have some very geeky tags. They're trying to do a lot with geeky events. I believe they're going to have a presence and or help us a little bit with Nerdapalooza, which is coming up, and we may also get to see him at PAX Prime, I'm hoping. And so y'all should go check them out. They have an iPhone app, which lets you, you know, take pictures and create what they call hooks. These are the geolocated notes and pictures and such. And what's even cooler is you can collect a series of these hooks into a story and then share those with, you know, anyone that you want to, and, you know, take your friends and family through the vacation that you're on, or show grandma and grandpa the kids' sports season, or going on chorus tour, or just about anything you can think of that would involve saving memories and taking pictures and being somewhere, from reviews to journal entries to I don't know, going on your honeymoon. Yeah, so we encourage you to go to maphook.com and sign up, check them out, and we thank them so much for their support of all the Geek Dad podcasts. And with that, what else we got, Matt? In fact, I probably should have been on me while I was doing that lovely promo instead of having everyone watch Matt clicking blankly.
I didn't realize you still had it.
I still had it. It was amazing how this voice was speaking, but your mouth wasn't moving. It was incredible.
And it sounded just like you.
Wow. Yeah. So, what else? What news have we got?
Let's see. There's the first. I'm pretty excited about this. The first trailer for the Muppets, the movie that's coming out this autumn, showed up.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny trailer.
Yeah, I liked it. They made it look like it was just your run of the mill.
A really sappy
romantic comedy, starring Amy Adams and Jason Segel, and and then it's like, starring Jason Segel, Amy Adams.
Hey Matt.
Kermit the Frog.
Hey Matt.
Wait. Yes.
Look who just popped in the chat room.
Oh, hey.
It's the world famous Bob Boyle. I think he purposely waited to come on until we were done talking about Maker Faire, though.
Hey Bob.
There we go. Muppets keep talking about Bob and John. They're awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
They are.
So yes, new Muppets movie looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, I'm so glad to see. It's been over 11 years now since Muppets in Space was in the theaters. That was the last one, and that was kind of disappointing too. And it's really good to see a movie that looks like it will actually be about the Muppets, not like, in a different movie that happens to star the Muppets.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to that. Definitely.
Excellent. Excellent. I know I'm looking. So what, now you said something earlier today. I have not seen any advanced reviews, but you said the buzz is coming in really strong for X-Men First Class.
It is. It surprised the heck out of me, really. But yeah, people who've seen it say that it's really good. One or two people said that it's actually the best Marvel movie they've seen. Which,
now, are these people that we know either personally or by reputation of good, honest reviewage before?
Some of them are. I don't know any of them personally, but some of them look like they know what they're talking about.
I mean, is this like on Twitter? Was it like just a random comment by PR_shill_5521? Or
no, I've seen posts on various websites. I can't. I don't. They're on my work computer. But
okay.
Honestly, but I don't have them, so I don't have them on me. But
wait a minute, you were looking at movie reviews on your work computer?
Yes. Well, I have a lunch break.
Oh, all right.
It's really, it astonished me, really, because from the previews, honestly, it really doesn't look that good to me, anyway.
It's interesting. If they can pull off a really sort of slightly dark Cold War thriller that just happens to have superheroes, that could be kind of neat.
Yeah, it could be. Like I said, I'm reserving judgment. I certainly... I'm more inclined to think well of it now than I was before, based on the previews. But I obviously can't say anything more about it until I've actually seen it. I'm gonna surprise the heck out of me, like I said. But,
all right. Well, we will keep our eyes on that. Have one of the Geek Dads called called for the privilege of doing the 10 things you should know about post for it yet?
I think so.
We'll have to see who gets to it first. Now I think we did run one this weekend, but I haven't. All I've seen was the very poor tomato meter reading for the new Pirates movie.
Yeah, I did one on Friday.
So you've seen it?
I saw a preview show of it last week. Yep.
Okay. and all right, so what is your considered opinion?
The problem is that there's been zero character development in Captain Jack Sparrow since the first moment that we saw him in the first movie. He hasn't changed a bit, and he doesn't have to change a lot because yes, he's a very funny character, but the same thing over and over again for four movies gets a little tiresome. Yes, it's a good thing they got rid of Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley because they were getting really, really, really boring. And Penelope Cruz is more interesting than that. But the plot is so incredibly
contrived.
Contrived, has giant holes in it. You know, the idea is, you know, they're searching for the Fountain of Youth.
Right.
You know, at the end of the third movie, you know, it turns out he has, you know, the map that, you know, Barbossa steals it and then realizes that Jack cut out the middle of it.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, he's searching for...
I remember it distinctly. He wants
to find it, but yeah. He doesn't have a ship. And at the beginning of it, you know, it's established that... at the beginning, you see this... this is literally the opening scene, so I'm not really giving anything away.
Spoilers!
This ship hauls up, you know, it's like a fishing ship, and it hauls up the net, you know, it's full of fish, but it also has what appears to be a dead body in it. And it turns out it's actually not a dead body, but it's this old man who's somehow still alive, although they don't really explain how he was alive at the bottom of the water, of the ocean, but that's okay. But he's claims to be a member of Ponce de Leon's crew.
Ah.
Now, this is supposed to be, you know, the late 1700s, and of course, Ponce de Leon was in the early 1500s. So, that's a little, you know, they, of course, don't believe him at first, but then, you know, they take him to, it's never quite clear who he's supposed to be, but some sort of Spanish nobleman, and maybe, it doesn't seem like he's supposed to be the king, but anyway. And so they launch a voyage to go to the Fountain of Youth, and
right.
Apparently word gets out, and so...
And it becomes Cannonball Run.
Sort of, yes, actually. Had really occurred to me that
literally and figuratively.
Yes, actually, that's true. Yeah, I mean, if that's the thing...
If Dom DeLuise shows up, then it's good, but...
For a movie that's ostensibly about pirates, almost no piracy actually takes place. But, yeah, and then...
No pirates were harmed in the making of this movie.
Then there's a long opening sequence where, with Jack in London, he actually meets George III, and
who's as crazy as he is
in dramatic fashion. You know, goes to this tavern where somebody is apparently pretending to be him to get a crew, and he runs into his dad briefly,
so they can
get Keith Richards into the movie. And you could actually understand what Keith Richards was saying this time, which is kind of refreshing. And then they did have him make fun of himself briefly, which is cool too.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, Jack asks him, you know, have you seen the, have you been to the Fountain of Youth? And he says, does this face look like it's been to the Fountain of Youth?
All right, now, I think you've gotten far enough. You're now giving away a joke.
But
again,
anyway,
so.
You know, and but then he finds out there's this elaborate ritual that you have to do in order to make the Fountain of Youth work. It's like, how did this ritual come about?
Yeah.
How did anybody find out about it? Who invented it? Why is this the ritual that works?
Obviously, we need more believable summer blockbusters, you know, like Thor.
Well, but Thor is based on established comic books, and it actually has... It's true to its, with the exception of the fact that the bridge doesn't, you know, end Norway, but rather in New Mexico. Apart from that, it is pretty consistent with the internal logic of the movie.
Right.
That is, if
you know, I'm that, just teasing.
Yeah, but the pirates not so much.
As I joked last time, you know, Thor, the biggest challenge was accepting that he has such godlike powers that he was able to change from arrogant to humble in a 24-hour period.
Well, yes.
But, Bob Boyle mentions that, yes, he wants to see the Cannonball Run. If it were done well, there's a movie that really needs remaking in these times. We need a good It's a Mad, 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 Mad World or Cannonball Run, something like that, just over the top, hilarious, you know, as many cameo from, you know, has-been TV actors from the past 20 years and so on and so forth. That's what I'm looking for, you know. Or Jackie Chan splitting his pants and
Jackie Chan hasn't made a really good movie in a while, has he?
Mm.
Yeah. Of course he's getting up in years too. So I don't know how many of those stunts he's gonna be able to do for that much longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Yeah, I was going to say one more thing about the Pirates that, you know, the reason it's called On Stranger Tides is because Disney bought the rights to a fantasy,
right,
a historical fantasy novel called On Stranger Tides, which is about people hunting for,
right,
the
and so they shoehorned it into the Pirates universe.
Yeah, but I as I understand it, some of the versions of it shown in other countries, you know, in non-English speaking countries, the title is actually changed to what translates to Pirates of the Caribbean, The Fountain of Youth, which really makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Because it actually tells you what it's about. What a thought.
Hey, I gotta say, so Bob's response to the whole Cannonball Run thing is, that's what the Geek Dad movie is for. I like the cut of your jib, sir. Yes, I do.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I think we'll be able to talk him into just making all of the fantasy sequences in the Geek Dad movie, just all references to great geek movies of the last 40 years.
No.
Army of Darkness sequence and the...
it's a nice idea.
Yeah, it's a nice idea. Right.
I don't think we have that kind of clout, though.
No, sadly not. Well, I'm going to keep refreshing. I have been promised that sometime in the next week, my IMDb entry will show up.
Okay.
And then I can cross one thing off of the bucket list that I've never created. Not yet. Too bad. Anyway, what else we got?
Well, there's the I don't know if you wanted to discuss the rapture that didn't happen.
Yeah, I try hard not to ever make fun of religious people, either on Geek Dad or on the podcast.
I know.
However.
Ever. Clearly, the world didn't end.
Yes. We did launch a Diet Soda and Mentos fountain at the supposed time. In honor, and
I like that the guy is now the guy who had said it was going to end is now revising that to say, you know, he miscalculated.
I forgot to carry the two. Sorry.
He's saying it's what now October, I think he said something like that. But I liked what I think it was.
But he only figured that out after he missed this date.
Of course, I liked
it. It's like I'm sorry, not to interrupt. So that means that all right. So he was sitting, you know, in his favorite comfy chair with a snifter of brandy and a cigar, ready for the thing to happen. Clock dings a minute after, and he's like, "Oh, nuts." Gets up, puts down the glass, puts down the cigar, goes over to his desk, pulls out a sheaf of paper, goes back through all these numbers and scribbles, and then goes, "Oh, crap."
Uh-huh.
And, guys, hold on. Sorry.
There were apparently were actually people who quit their jobs and such, like expecting this to actually happen.
Right.
Who are now screwed.
Because that's the kind of person I really want to rehire.
Yeah, exactly.
On the other hand, dedicated. Yeah. Okay. All right. Stopping the snark.
I was going to say, Neil deGrasse Tyson said something, which I thought was clever. Is that, you know, which he said is, maybe we could get a preacher to talk about climate change, because then people would actually believe it.
That would be nice. Okay. Enough snark about dedicated religious people. Okay. Moving on. I don't think, what else? You know, here's one that I was going to mention this on the board, on our internal list, seeing if someone would pick up on this, but I was listening to one of the tech podcasts. I think it was Tech News Today this morning. They're mentioning there's been this little hubble bubble going on that, like, Mark Zuckerberg had said something about, you know, he just thought kids under 13 should be allowed to be on Facebook and stuff. And there's been sort of some pro and some con about that. And, you know, that 13-year-old age has also very specifically to do with some federal laws about being able to market to kids and so forth. But something that also came up was there was another, there was a dedicated kids social network, and I'm forgetting what the name of it is right now. Not Zoo Pets or a fairly popular one, and I can't remember what the name of it is off the top of my head. If somebody wants to Google this real quick, please do.
Well, there's a couple of them.
The thing that was going on was, and this is one that's been around for a number of years, and what's happening is a number of people are discovering that, yeah, I think it's Webkinz. Thank you, Jenny.
Oh, Webkinz, yeah.
What has suddenly happened was a number of kids, when they're turning 18, are suddenly seeing themselves getting spam advertising PR email to email accounts and names that were specifically set up just for that service. And so it is becoming apparent that Webkinz was selling the user information for children with their age data in it, and selling it to advertisers, just with the caveat that, okay, you got to wait till the kids are 18, and then you can, pull the trigger and start sending them stuff. And it's a little creepy, I'm sorry. I don't have much more to say that. It's a little bit creepy that they were selling kids' data so that advertisers could, wait until they were 18 and then start inundating them with.
Are you sure it was Webkinz? I can't find anything about it.
All right. Well, just then.
If we're going to talk about it, we should.
Yes, let's get it right. So.
Yeah. I don't.
I'm almost thinking it had something, had pet in the title. Neopets, or I can't tell whether I'm thinking of games or the social network or name or whatever it was. And Bob, no, it was not Penguin Club. Pretty sure it was not Penguin Club.
No, well, I mean, Disney owns that.
They're usually pretty careful about this thing. Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can come up with that, but. So this is the, this is the plus and minus behind all of these social networks, is that your personal information is there, and if you're going to have kids on it, those guys better be pretty darn upright and proper about how they're using personal identification from children. And whilst this is not necessarily really against the law per se, it is kind of creepy.
It is.
Yeah. All right. So we're not, we probably can't find a name that quick.
I still can't find anything about it. But
that doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
All I can do is I can find stuff about what you're saying about Zuckerberg, but it's not about this other network. Oh, there is that, that poll that, Nathan Barry sent us information about.
Yes, because the day that this is published will be
Towel Day.
Towel Day.
And Geek Pride Day.
And Geek Pride Day, which properly go together. Indeed they do.
Somewhere in here is the actual. Tell me the results. Hang on. But they were cool results. But talking about people identifying with being called geek and identifying that as a good thing, which I thought was very cool to hear. Did you get this?
Yeah, hold on a second. I can dig that up.
I thought I had it in my email, but now I can't.
This is making good podcast right here.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, this is done a survey done by Modus, which is a IT staffing company, but they did a survey apparently. Nearly one fifth of Americans, it's about 17%, self-identify as a geek. The terms nerd and geek are not considered interchangeable by most people. a majority, 87% of self-identified geeks were more comfortable being labeled a geek than a nerd. Only 61% were being more comfortable being labeled a nerd.
Interesting.
Today, Americans most closely associate the term geek with favorable attributes such as being extremely intelligent, 45%, a reliable source for technology advice, 56%, first adopter of technology, 45%. One of those interesting findings, they say nearly twice as many Americans would prefer to be called a geek, 41%, rather than a jock, 22%.
We win!
Sounds like it. It's pretty cool. Yeah, they say two-thirds. They said 66% of millennials, that is people aged 18 to 34, think being identified as a geek is a compliment. Well, only 39% of people aged 65 and older thought that.
It's a matter of language. It's a matter of generation, totally.
Exactly. That is, you know, it's a huge, it just demonstrates the huge cultural shift that's occurred.
And we're taking over.
I think we have taken over.
Well, we will continue to overwhelm the jocks until we can start, you know, setting policy against them. And so you want to do sports, do you? Well, I'm sorry. Title 71 says that for every sports team, there must be an equally funded online game team. And so that's lovely. You can have your lacrosse and we will have our God of War 3 infiltration team, and that's it. We will need Xbox scholarships to all major universities, and that's it. I don't see why you're laughing. This is part of our. We're taking over. This is we're gonna go.
Well, you know, I mean, like I said, I think we're doing okay right now.
Okay, all right, fine. If we, as long as we can just buy all the sports teams.
And Nicole suggests that you need an evil laugh.
How's that?
Good.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. I think I need an effects box too. I need some reverb. I don't have anything good for reverb right here.
That's probably okay.
No, that's not working. Ah. Once again, really good podcasting right here.
Oh yes. Top dollar. That's what you get for paying top dollar.
I will tease again. I've teased this on Twitter and stuff, but so people can guess. We can narrow this down, but I don't want to jinx this, so I'm not going to say what it actually is. But I may very well. It's looking likely. We just got to nail down that the date is available for everybody. That I will get to be a guest on a top 20 podcast sometime in the next 3 weeks. A special Father's Day episode of a very well-known and enjoyed top 20 podcast.
You're going to be on This American Life? I'm sorry.
No.
No.
Although I might get Science Friday again before the year. You know what I'm talking about. So.
Very cool.
I'm just trying to keep up with you, Matt.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You, Mr. Phineas and Verb.
Yeah, right.
As Jenny says, yes, it will be a very special episode of Blossom. Podcast, not, you know, Nick at Night. Sorry. Well, I don't know. What else we got? Or should we go to Post of the Week and roll this thing home? We've been going almost an hour. We can probably wrap this up pretty soon.
Yeah, probably. So nothing else is leaping to mind.
Okay. All right, and give me a post of the week.
Well, I wanted to talk about James Kelly's post from the 18th about called "Returning to My Gaming Roots by Revisiting Infocom Text Adventures," because I grew up playing tons of Infocom games, and I just devoured them. There was, as soon as I was done with my homework, that's what I went and did.
Were you eaten by a Gru many times?
Oh yes, of course. Many times. Oh yeah, I played Zork. I played I played Planetfall. I played the Enchanted and Sorcerer and Spellbreaker. Those were and honestly some of the hardest puzzles that I've ever encountered in games. In some of those, and I mean, I'm not going to say that they're better than modern games, but they certainly required more thought.
Yeah.
If you're playing something like, Red Dead Redemption or the new LA Noir or something, yeah, you have to solve puzzles and you have to figure out what you're supposed to do, but you don't have to use your imagination as much because, well, you got beautiful HD graphics right in front of you, which again is really cool, but it doesn't require imagination. And when you're reading text descriptions of things, obviously you have to picture them in your head, so it kind of has a different dimension to it. And I really enjoyed that. Some of them were very creative games. Some of the puzzles were very, very tough to solve, and just very satisfying when you finally did solve them. I mean, famously, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Infocom game has, become, I think it's still pretty well known.
Yeah.
The Babel Fish puzzle is very well known as like one of the hardest things to figure out how to solve. Because it also didn't handhold you. If you forgot a piece of the puzzle that you needed later on, you didn't pick it up when you had the chance. Well, you just had to start over and try it again and pick it up that time. And yes, that could be frustrating, but on the other hand, while I loved playing like Portal 2, for instance, I thought it was a great game, but there were times when I kind of wished it didn't make it so obvious where you were supposed to go by making it the only place you could shoot a portal.
Hmm.
For instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Still, that was why I was actually almost late tonight, was Quinn and I were, one quick level before Dad goes on the podcast. little quick co-op. Let's go.
Yeah, and of course some of the co-op levels have several different stages.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I love the co-op levels are a lot of fun. Have you played the regular game yet?
I will not have time to play the regular game until maybe July, at the earliest. So,
it is truly excellent.
It is excellent. Well, cool. Okay, mine's going to be really quick here, but this one tickled me as I think it tickled you, which is why you posted it. It was the Geek Dad picture of the day from the 19th, and it was the picture of the, as you titled it, the Legion of Super Groomsmen, and the awesome photograph.
If you get a few, pull it up. Yeah,
I will endeavor to pull this up real quick. Probably what will happen as I do this, I will pull up the photo and lose. Well, no, I can do this. Hold on, I can do
it. I can find it on my iPad. I can hold it up.
No, I will go to you, and then I will get rid of you. I can replace you, Blum. you are expendable. Let's see. Plus, and once again, the magic. How awesomely prepared we are here on the. On the Geek Dads podcast. Because if I hadn't been playing Portal 2, I might have actually taken care of loading the pictures beforehand.
Here. I've got it on my iPad.
No, no, I win. I got it first. There we go. Okay. And so there they are, the League of Super Groomsmen, with, of course, the groom getting to be Superman, and we're assuming that that's the best man is Batman there, and then many, many others. Let's say I see a Hawkman, I see Flash, I see Captain Marvel, I believe I see Plastic Man, I see Nightwing.
There's the one that you can't tell because the bridesmaid obviously didn't act fast enough.
Oh yeah, not quite. Over. Maybe it's the question. Sorry. Yeah, you know that guy's going to you know, is that if that's his girlfriend or his wife, he's going, damn it, we're famous and you didn't have my shirt open.
And I like that they also, that obviously the photographer had them all, you know, sort of look off into the distance.
Yeah.
Although the guy on the far right is looking the other way from all the,
yeah,
other, all the other ones. So
but the bride is looking right at the camera.
Yes.
Actually, I think all the women are looking at the camera.
Yeah, it looks like they are.
That's pretty good. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a great photo. I'm assuming that the ones that they took after that where the guy whose shirt isn't open was actually open, just didn't come out very well.
Because probably not.
Presumably they would have put those up too. There was one other photo on the same blog that, from the same sequence, but it was, you know, when they were obviously preparing to do it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as good. But yeah, it was cool. I saw somebody posted that on Reddit. I saw it and, you know, I emailed the owners of, you know, the photography studio and said, you know, hey, do you mind if I post this? And they said, sure.
I bet he was tickled. I bet the photographer was tickled.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they were. Awesome. I mean, especially since I linked to them in the post, since it was fairly, really well tweeted about. I
have to
imagine it got them some links, you know, some click throughs that they would otherwise not have gotten.
Fantastic.
I hope that worked out for them.
We're helping people. Yay! All right. Well, that's all I can think of for this lovely edition of the podcast. Any last words from the chat room? Bob, Nicole, Jenny, anyone? Hello to Eagle Griffin Games, who just popped in. Luke is in there. Any geeky news or issues from the week that we ought to masticate? Chew on, as it were?
Can we say that on there?
We could even defenestrate them. Or,
it doesn't look like you have any Windows in there.
That's true. I'm on a Mac. But, all right. Well, then, I am just going to say thank you to Mr. Matt Blum, as always.
You're welcome. And as always, thank you for hosting.
And I'll say thank you to Eagle Griffin Games, saying, you know, it's a geek podcast when they use masticate instead of chew. Yes, absolutely.
And Bob was asking us never to use the word masticate again. And I just used it.
No. Yes, he did. Masticate, masticate, masticate. Bob, are you a serial masticator? We may get the explicit tag on iTunes and not have earned it, gosh darn.
Yeah. Well, does that mean he has cereal for breakfast?
I'm worried, you know, we've got the Ustream bot moderator in the chat room watching. We keep saying masticate in there, we may get in trouble. I don't know. All right, excellent. Well then, I will say this has been the Geek Dads episode number 92. Wow, start and end. Tiny new. Episode tiny new.
What's your name?
Sponsored by Hookmap. Sponsored by maphook.com. I am Ken Denmead, editor of geekdad.com. And we'll thank everybody who was in the chat room. Bob Boyle, Luke, Jenny, Matt, Nicole, Eagle Griffin Games, And you, gentle listeners, for suffering through all of this. That's it. We'll see you all in 2 weeks, and have a good one. Happy Towel Day.
Happy Towel Day, everybody.
Bye, all.
Geek Dad.